Oh, hello. I didn't see you there.
Well, hello there, and how are you?
I am great, honey. What are we doing?
Well, we're doing our podcast.
Culture Pop?
Where we talk nonstop.
Oh, my God. This is Jillian Patterson, and...
I am JJ.
Yes, the fiancé, soon-to-be husband.
Yep.
Awesome, awesome. So...
I learned the other day.
What?
The difference between fiancé male and fiancé female. Either I didn't know that, or I forgot it.
Really?
Yeah, like, one's two E's, one's one E, I think... Yeah. There's a difference.
Oh, fiancé with two E's is probably female.
Why?
It's a French thing.
Okay. Oh, because the French are weird. They gender their words.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have... Like, Americans don't care if my basket is a dude or a chick.
Although
I will say this. Certain words are funny in that regard because the root word will... Like, if the feminine and masculine version of a word will literally, like, go back down to, like, penis and vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, your friend... Jillian has a friend. She's German. She's telling me about, like, words and what they mean. And she's talking about how, like... Oh, she's telling me, like, how... Some English word made her laugh because it sounds like the German word for, like, vagina, which is, like, literally, like, the same as sheath, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, the German word for vagina means sheath.
Is it true that, like, how you know how the French gender all their words because they're aliens? Is it true, like...
Spanish? Don't they do the same thing in Spanish?
Well, but you can't make fun of Spanish people. That's racist. Oh. We're going to make fun of the French because they're an easy target.
Hold on.
They steal our women and they make fine cheese.
No. No, I think here in America, we just do everything backwards.
That's not true. Well, the metric system, yeah. But other than that...
Metric system, and we don't gender our words. Doesn't everyone else?
I'm not linguistics here. I don't know.
Me neither. Someone tell us.
I've taken Spanish a bunch of times, and I always either fail or see.
And I took French, so there you go.
Ooh, French.
Yes.
Why?
Because I can't roll my R's.
That's your excuse for not taking, like, the most popular language in, like...
I know, and I went to school in California.
San Diego, too.
Yeah, I went to school in San Diego.
She can't... Just to go back a bit, she can't roll her R's, which is, for me, it blows my mind, because to me, it's insanely
I really
easy.
Can't. Now it's just showing off.
Big time.
Oh, my goodness. And I can't. I'm not even going to attempt it, because just, like...
It's hard to explain, too. Like... Let me see. Wait. I'm gonna try to, like, visualize how I'm doing this and then just say it out loud. Hold up. Wait.
Someone told me to lightly put my, like, my tongue on, what is it, on the roof of my mouth and then just, like, blow a lot of air really fast.
Basically what I'm doing is I'm making a hissing noise, but I'm narrowing down, like... I'm narrowing down how much I'm blowing at my lips. So it's, instead of just going with my mouth open, I'm like making it into like a really fast stream, and then I'm just putting my tongue in the very middle of that stream. So it's like the stream is like wiggling my tongue up and down. It's the same as whistling. I'm just like arching. I'm just arching my tongue into a U.
Uh huh.
And then just like making my lips so tight that the wind has to blow that a one air. So it's basically a hot stream. And since I'm curving my tongue, it makes a... And I can just change the pitch by move my tongue either up or down, either the front part or the back part, up or down. I have a really good tongue.
someone, please, tell me if that tutorial just now helps you learn how to whistle or roll your R's. Yeah, right? Oh my gosh.
I talk fast and...
Now everyone knows how to whistle and roll their R's except for me.
I know how to snap my finger.
So do I.
And when I did it, half the world doesn't go away.
Oh my god!
That's next week. I can't wait for Marvel to, like, because this is you think this is the end of Marvel? No. This is only the start. They have movies planned to like 2025.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I'm excited.
And by then, Disney will own all the companies, and then it'll be better for us. I welcome our new dictators.
Mm. Oh, you know one movie that I was so excited for.
I welcome our new Disney overlords.
You know what movie I was really excited about, but was very freaking disappointed when we actually saw it?
I bet I know what it is. Let's see. Was it the Move in Heaven Girl? Oh, I mean Hellboy.
Yes.
That's an opposite movie.
That was Hellboy, yeah.
She actually, she's a Hellboy fan girl.
I love the series. I love Hellboy as a character.
I think she's attracted to Hellboy.
Probably not, but you know.
Who said that?
I don't know. It was Katie. Our dog, by the way.
Well, it's Kitty's birthday today.
Yeah, we gave her steak and everything.
We gave her steak, like, three... Well, we gave her one steak over three different meals. She got, like, all her favorite toys.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Took her to the beach.
Yes. She had a ball at the beach.
And she was a baller today, in the sense that she got everything she wanted. Now she's just sleeping.
I know. Now she's just, yeah.
Because she's 8 years old and old.
And I also got her a puppuccino. It was really cute.
Puppuccino. It's
literally just whipped cream.
It's whipped cream in a cup.
Yes. But anyways, back to Hellboy, though. That was terrible.
Yeah. Like, the movie Hellboy just felt like... It kind of feels like five different episodes of a Hellboy like show that got smooshed together and cut apart.
Yeah.
Because he starts off trying to find his friend who's also in Mexico, and then it turns out he's a vampire. That's a whole episode right there.
Right.
And then he has to go and help these British guys from an ancient society hunt down three giants. That's a whole episode right there.
Yes.
And then he gets saved by this one lady who's like, oh, I'm a person from your past, and then like they have to go and like get what was that happening afterwards?
Oh yeah, yeah. They have to get the sword to defeat.
Yeah, basically what I'm trying to say is here, just like this felt like five different episodes
of
a Hellboy TV show got squished together, yeah. But with everything cut apart, and it makes no sense. Which is more or less how I felt exactly about Incredibles 2. It's the exact same thing. It felt like there was a cartoon, and they just took five episodes and smooshed it together into one movie.
Oh, I did not see The Incredibles. All I know is that with Hellboy, that one, I feel like that one, I felt similar about Hellboy as I did with Suicide Squad. I was so excited.
Yeah, you were.
I was so freaking excited. I was like, they can do so much with this stuff. And then, like, it was, like, it wasn't even hyped up like Suicide Squad was, but it was, like...
You're right, it wasn't. I barely saw anything for this
right?
movie.
Right? But I feel like with Hellboy, just, like, the storytelling similar to Suicide Squad, like, just, it was just really choppy. Like, they couldn't just, like, tell a full story. Nothing was, like, there was no moment where it was, like, left to breathe at all.
That is so true, and that's what I meant by like it felt like stuff got cut. I felt like five episodes,
yeah,
and then just cut out like parts of the beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, and it's like also just like through all of that, there's like this very thin like kind of just like not even motif. It was supposed to be like the point of the whole movie was like family and fatherhood or something like that. It was really dumb, but it was a really weak plot point where he was just like, oh, remember, I'm the monster, remember, everyone hates me, so I'm gonna fucking, why should I like help people, just like why should I be the hero when no one even, okay, we get it.
Okay,
and he's just and my dad doesn't like, he didn't tell me that I was supposed to, that he was sent to kill me, and then like all these people, they just want to kill me. Yeah, right. I was like, what?
I'm all for a plot for a film character is being a crisis of faith and like unsure of and like being questioning like their role and why they do the things they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you put in the second movie when like when you've already established when he's been through hell and he has a right to be complaining. But when he talks about like having to kill all my brothers and sisters, like I just met you.
Exactly. It was an origin story and a crisis of faith story and like his like true destiny thing.
Well, it was a true destiny to do something else. Not, you know. But no, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, it was like he had to find like he had to, okay. It was, oh my god, that it was
a lot of great ideas, but
it would have been five different movies.
Yeah.
It would have, like, honestly, if they would have just stuck with one full arc, arc doesn't have to be filled with a bunch of different, like...
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Well, how would you feel if this was, like, an Netflix series?
Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh.
Imagine it was a Netflix series.
Yeah.
And just the intro, the very first episode... is Hellboy it's a full like 30 maybe 40 minute show where it's the scene where Hellboy has to go and find his friend in Mexico who's a vampire.
That would have been awesome. That would have been cool.
Just that's 30 40 minutes of focus just on that,
because that's the thing, because like then you would have like been able to like see Mexico like breathe in, okay, he's in Mexico, and then like his friend, and then hold up,
kidding.
You know what? No, and then like him like finding his friend, and then why this friend is important to find, and then who this friend is to Hellboy. Like, it would have like added depth to Hellboy. We also would have known who the freak this guy was, and also what actually happened to the friend. It was kind of just like, oh, he disappeared to Mexico. Oh, he's a vampire. Oh, he's a luchador. Now, oh, see, like, he wasn't a luchador when he got there.
There's a reason why I mentioned the wrestling part, like, about, like, three different times now.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, like, the way it starts,
yeah,
I was like, a little on the edge of my seat going, okay, this looks like a really damn good movie, because Hellboy, he goes to Mexico, and... He's tracking down his friend. You don't see him right away. They don't do the big reveal just yet. And then he's walking through like this arena, and just going through. And it's clear that some people aren't like. Well, there's clear people who's looking at him and like not caring because because it's like he's at a luchador wrestling match. It's so great.
Everyone knows who he is too.
And he's like, I'm looking for my friend who's an agent. And then you see a guy in the ring just like in a full mask. He's like whooping. He's a luchador. He's whooping ass and kicking everyone's asses and everyone's cheering for him.
Yeah.
And Hellboy goes like, wait, that's him. And you're just like, okay, his agent friend's now wrestling. What's this?
Yeah. And the guy takes the microphone. And he's like, oh. Hellboy's in the thing, and he works for it, and they're doing it like it's
Triple H.
Just like, how do they know who he is?
No, but it doesn't matter because like it's.
I think it does matter.
No, it's a great scene because.
No, it's a great scene.
Yeah,
I feel like
no one knows who he is. But we have this really okay. Because here's the thing about Hellboy.
Oh my god.
Okay. Hear me out. Mm-hmm. We've already seen two really good Hellboy movies. They wanted to do things a little bit differently in this one. They're trying to do things a little bit different. And I like the fact that when they introduce Hellboy, people are just like kind of like going, "Wow, yeah, boo, fuck you."
Why? Because why? Why is my question?
Why?
Why were they booing him? They don't know him.
That's no, because they're booing him because he was going up against their favorite guy, the new.
I don't think no, because
he was headlining the place.
Hellboy wasn't.
No, the other guy,
the Asian guy was. No, but my point is this. Hellboy just walks into a random room. This guy...
He walks into an arena. It's a wrestling ring.
Hold on. He walks into an arena.
We're on the same side here. Why are we arguing?
Hold on. No. No, yeah. Hold on.
Okay.
No, we have... Okay. No, he walks into a random arena after he just got into Mexico. He's not even anywhere on the bill. The guy... Like, his friend had already fought his opponent. And then he's... Hold shit up. And then he's just like... And then his friend takes a microphone. He's like, oh, it's Hellboy. He needs no introduction. Shut up. No, he needs no introduction. Everyone just points at him and they're booing at him. Why?
Because he's the villain. Why? He's the bad guy.
Like, do random wrestlers just show up to random ass arenas?
Well, this is Mexico, honey.
No, shut up. Like, he's never been to Mexico.
Oh, bear in mind, this is not like a big
He's
ass
never
arena.
Been
this
to is... Mexico before. Oh, why oh, do they know who he is? No, just going from the information they give us. Like,
this opening scene because, okay.
It's a cool scene. It's a cool scene.
My point is.
Makes no sense. Fuck you. I feel like, no. My theory is they have him boo Hellboy in a rushed attempt to establish that no one likes Hellboy. Because that's kind of the
Nobody
theme.
Likes that
exactly. No, that's what I feel they were trying to do. They were trying to like force down our throats. Hey, people don't like him. Hey, remember, people don't like him. Hey, his dad was sent to kill him. Hey, these people that were supposed to be his dad's friends are trying to kill him because they don't like him. Hey, giants don't like him. Hey, other monsters don't like. It's just like I feel like that was just another example of the filmmaker or the editor, whoever the freak. Putting in a scene where people just don't like Hellboy. It's a cool scene.
I
feel like there needed to be more context. That was not deserved. He literally just got there and people are just like, boo, fucking hate him.
I disagree. Now let me talk. My point is, let me talk. All right, cool. No, it's just like, I was in love with this movie for the first, like, 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. That was, like, about 10 minutes, you think?
It could have been really cool.
But I was, like, for the first 10 minutes, I was in love with this movie because there was no effects. So it was all practical. The editing was a little wonky. I was fine. But I just like that Hellboy arrives at a luchador wrestling ring in the middle of Mexico. And then, like, he's like, look for my agent buddy. And he sees him wrestling. It's like, oh, he's wrestling now. And then he goes in there. He's all like, okay, it's like, Garcia. I'm going to say Garcia. Okay, Garcia, I don't know what you're doing here, but we need to get back. And he's like, no, I am the wrestler. And it's like,
that should have been the whole movie.
Nope, I'm talking here.
Okay.
And then, And then he's all like, okay, fine, I'll fight you. And then the special agent just starts whooping his ass and just like starts like, he starts kicking his ass. And Hellboy's like, what the hell's going on? Why is my agent buddy, who's just a regular human,
suddenly stronger?
Suddenly like stronger than me and like a wrestler. What is this? And then he's like, have you gone crazy? What are you doing here, man? Yeah. And we were saying, Mexico. Tears the mask off. He's a vampire.
Yeah.
And then he starts flying away. Oh no! And then Hellboy like spikes him on the edge of the ring on the lamppost, and he's all like, "My God, what's happening?" Okay. I was like, "This is great."
What I'm hearing is, yeah, the scene on its own is great. That's what I agree with that.
I think you're reading too much in the whole like fans booing him. This is rest.
No, hold on. Hold on. I'm not even done. I'm just saying that is one example of like I'm trying to explain why they probably put that in, because compared to the rest of the movie, literally, guys, after this whole Mexico thing and he kills his friend, then he's on to the next thing and he goes back home and his dad's just like, hur, 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 hur. And it's like, we never go back to it again.
And like I said, it sounds like the start of a new episode.
Exact. That's what I'm trying to say. So that I'm trying to expand on that point. That's what I'm trying to say. So I'm trying to explain why even include that. Because in the grand scheme of things, literally had nothing else to do with the rest of the movie. His friend's a vampire, then they just drop it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of with the hunting thing, a little bit.
Exactly. So there was another thing that happened. It was a point in the movie, and then it just... they all died, and there we go.
I'm not going to say that watching Hellboy kill three giants wasn't awesome, but at the same time, I was just all like, they could have done better.
None of it had any consequence to the whole fucking thing, except to exemplify, hey, people don't like him. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. So anyways, but that was infuriating. I feel like it would have been so much better and so much more beautiful, like, because that scene is cool, the beginning scene with the wrestling and everything, if that was part of its own movie, giving that more context, I would have cared more about it.
Also, I'm going to go back a little bit when I said, like, the wrestling thing was practical. No. Like, okay, there was, like, he was a CGI vampire bat.
Yes.
It wasn't that good.
None of it was good.
But later on, my God, some of the effects. Like,
oh, they're terrible.
Like the bleeding, I'm all like, that's the
fakest all the blood I've ever seen in my life. Also, the scene with the giants, even though it was pretty okay... No, it wasn't. The giants, the fuck. Because you can so see that he was in front of a screen. He was, like, running on, like, a... It was...
And, like, the terrible. Giants are really slow, so they telegraph their attacks really hard. So it's, like, it's not gonna... Nothing's gonna surprise you with this thing. You know what's gonna happen, and it's, like, everything else.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna say it wasn't cool seeing Hellboy just, like, kill a giant with his own goddamn weapon.
The concept is cool. So that's the reason why this whole film was made, and that's why the director said, quote, everyone hates my raddest movies.
Like,
hate it so much. But, no, hold on. Like,
He literally said raddest.
But also... he had so much material. There are like trailer moments, there are really good like film movie still production still moments, but as a whole, all put together, like it's just like thinly strung together with a plot that was never actually like developed, or like it's not even one plot, it's like five plots. You know, so it kind of, and it's also speaking to your episodes, like it feels like a bunch of episodes, literally, like, ooh, it made me so mad and so upset. The CGI was bad. The acting, okay, the actors are actually good actors that were doing badly in this movie. like the guy that played Hellboy,
who's the cop from Stranger
Things? Yeah, no comedic, yeah, you were right the first time.
Stranger Things?
Yes.
That's what it's called?
Yes, from Stranger Things, yeah. He had no comedic timing and no emotion. And no, he had a lot of one-liners that didn't work. They just didn't work. He didn't do, like, it just, like, he said a lot of things that were meant to be funny. No one was laughing in our whole theater.
Also, he came off as kind of whiny.
He was very whiny. That's the thing, because it was not directed well. Like, you can tell all the actors, they're well-known actors. Like, we've seen them all before, we know they're good actors, but it just felt like with their delivery of these lines, it just felt flat. Like, they were just reading the lines. And it felt like there were lines that were meant to be funny, but the way they were delivered just wasn't funny. And it was, like, poorly timed. And it was just... I don't know. It just... Nothing stood out. in terms of lines. I don't remember any of the one-liners he had.
Man, this movie, he literally said it's the raddest film. He literally said raddest. Like that, no one has said rad since like 1987. And if this movie came out in 1987, it'd be like the greatest movie ever told for like 1987 standards. Because like, well, I mean, talking about in terms of the effects. Because worst effects, some of the worst effects I've ever seen.
It is.
The worst is, again, you know how this movie has a lot of concepts and ideas?
Yeah.
It reminds me of, like, oh, who's this lady? Oh, she can detect dead people. Okay, she's a psychic? Yeah. What else can she do? Oh, well, if she grabs a dead body, a demon flies out of her mouth and transforms into that person, and from beyond the grave, they'll talk through it. And I'm just like, what?
See, there's a lot of rush things like that. But
the
effects
of the demon coming out is like...
Oh, it's terrible.
Wow, it's like PS2 graphics.
What is happening? I know. I'll remember you laughed. There was one laugh, and it was JJ in that whole thing when the guy came out, like, near the end when the dad came out of the lady, and then he was like, wait, stop, or something. What did he say? He was like, stop. Fuck, what was it?
Oh.
He was trying to tell Hellboy, like, to fucking calm down and put the fucking sword down or something. But, like, he came out and he was just like, stop. It was, like, super, and you like, laughed because he was just, like, he had no, it was just not good.
There are times in my life where, like, I think something's, like, so incredibly, it's, like, so funny, and my brain was, can't process it any other way, and I'll just go, and I just all loud.
Like, yeah, that was literally you, because like that was the only time I heard anyone laugh in the theater, and you were the only one laughing. But he came out of the girl, and he was just like, "Wait, stop, no!" And it was like, "What? What?"
I don't remember any of that. So
I do see exact. It's so unmemorable. You don't even remember the one time you laughed Hellboy movie.
This movie is like it goes like it. Its pace is like the speed of light.
Oh my god!
Closer to it. And like it has like again it has it's like six episodes in there and goes from scene to scene to scene to scene, so like it's hard to remember something that only that happened like five scenes ago, technically happened like 3 hours ago, and I'm also like, oh my god,
it was, oh my gosh, I thought I was crazy. I was like, can I, like, is it me? And then I remember I was really thinking this, like, am I crazy? I'm not even, like, I have not taken any substances before this movie was happening. I remember the moment I realized I wasn't crazy was was when, oh yeah, there's a queen lady. It was like the queen, I don't freaking know. Queen. There we go, the blood queen. I thought this was actually kind of funny. She takes a thorn from her crown after and she throws
it. What a random way to kill someone.
And she throws it at the psychic girl, Alice, and then it like gets her to the neck. She's like, Alice is gonna die. Peace. And then she leaves.
For those of you who know, Jillian had another podcast where she and her friend described fairy tales from old times and discussed how weird they were conceptually.
Pick your poison.
It's called Pick Your Poison. Yes. And if there's anything that reminds me of that, it's like the sentence you just said where it's all like, and then the blood witch pricked the thorn from her crown and threw the crown at the girl's neck, and then she fell down and was poisoned. That's like, because you've read stories where it's all like, oh no, she threw birds on the ground. The birds came and took the seeds, and then some of them like got caught in that lady's hair, and then the lady stumbled over and like died.
And the birds flew her body
like,
too.
God damn it. Shit like that.
I have, yeah. For those of you who don't know, Pick Your Poison is another podcast that I co-hosted. You should check that one out. It's really funny. It's me and my friend Marina. But yeah, check that out also after you listen to this one.
Take a shot every time Jillian says, oh my god.
Maybe don't. You might die. I don't know. But what I will say is this.
Now, okay. Where are we? Yes, fuck Hellboy.
No, yeah. No, but really, no, but she, I knew I wasn't crazy when the scene happened. She took the thorn, threw it at the psychic girl, Alice.
Ow.
And then she's just like, she's gonna die. Peace. And then she like leaves, and then Hellboy, like someone somewhere was just like, oh, we need to take her to Merlin, this wizard guy. And Hellboy's just like, okay. And then he takes Alice. We don't know who Merlin is, how this guy knows who Merlin is, where Merlin is, but they suddenly arrive in a cave.
I completely forgot Merlin was there.
Exactly. There's so many things, but so
there's I kind of forgot about that part because like
it was like 2 seconds. So then
there's like four scenes in between that and then the final act.
Right. God, so damn. Then they arrive, like then suddenly they're transported to a cave where Merlin's body is, because I don't know how they got there, how they knew where he was, how they know who he is.
Although they explained it, just I mean, we can't remember because
no. I don't think they no. From what I remember, they did not explain it because I was sitting here just like, okay, let's see. What? So then they arrive there. Merlin's just like, oh, hey, your friend's saved. By the way, gonna knock him out. Hellboy, I have the sword for you. And he's just like, you should definitely take the sword and defeat the thing. That's the only way he's gonna die. Hellboy was just like, no. And he's like, that was our one chance. Now I'm dying. I'm Merlin. And then he dies. And then they wake up.
And this sword's gone forever. And then he just finds it again.
Yes. And then.
That was so weird.
And then the queen is just like,
because Merlin builds up the fact that he's all like, you fucking idiot. This sword
doesn't even help us all.
But now that I use my last bit of magic to bring the sword here, and now I'm gonna die, and it's gone forever. Back to its original hiding place. And then later on, he just like has to go to this final place, and they're just there.
He meets the queen, and the queen throws him, and he's just like, oh yeah, by the way, the sword was here the whole time.
Yeah, he crashes into the ground, into the cribs. He's like, oh, it was here the whole time. So
Merlin lied.
So like no, like no, I think Merlin was being truthful, and then it was just sheer dumb luck that he just went down and like
this whole movie was dumb luck.
See, if this was a TV show, there'd be a whole episode dedicated to how they like tracked it down with science or some shit.
Yes,
I don't know.
like I'm just like, what? It's like Merlin's in this, and then just like, okay, so Alice is
and
in this
the
too.
They had the balls to tease a sequel.
Yes, and then oh my gosh, I was like, oh, who is this? Oh, it's like a fish person. I wonder who it is. Well, no, you're not getting the fucking money for a second movie.
I'll tell you what it is, honey. It's a sequel for Shape of Water 2.
Oh, shut up, Shape of Water 2. You know what's funny?
Electric Boogaloo.
I literally thought, okay, I literally thought Shape of Water was a prequel to the Hellboys thing, and I thought it was going to be the backstory.
Me too.
To the...
I thought so, too. I was like, they're making a movie about that one character? That's fucking ballsy.
I would have been, like... I mean, Shape of Water was good, too, but I
was more than two-thirds of the way through before I realized, wait a minute.
Hold on. This is not the same sea monster.
Actually, honey.
Yeah?
What if it's its dad?
Maybe. Okay, also, with that, it was directed by the same guy that did the first two Hellboys. Yeah, so I was just like,
that's why I thought of it too.
Because it was a fish person. He did Hellboy. They look very similar. It's set like in the what is it? Like the 30s, 40s or something.
Whenever
The Shape of Water was set in, it was like way before the time that Hellboy is set in. Like way before. Anyways, it's actually a similar time, isn't it?
I think it was like the 50s, 50s, yeah. 60s. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like, yeah, yeah. I think it was like mid to late 50s.
See, it was even like in a similar. I was just like, oh, so this is the backstory of what's his face, but it was not.
It wasn't.
Damn.
Well, maybe it's Guillermo del Toro's unofficially brain just like it's only head canon. Yeah. Imagine I would give him so much respect if he just came out the next day or came out and it was just like, okay, by the way, that was I make it a prequel I forget his name's dad.
His name too, but I would, you know what, okay,
they try to make the Hellboy universe, and then like at the end of that one you see someone talking, and then you light a cigarette, and you see the outline of Hellboy.
Oh, sequel. No. I mean, like, I don't know. The Hellboy that came out recently made me so sad and very mad. I was upset.
It's like someone, she's like, why did they betray me?
Why did they do that? I was waiting for
this.
She
was so excited.
I was waiting for this.
She was so excited.
You know what? I want to know what Guillermo del Toro thinks of.
he's probably about it by now.
Oh my gosh, I want to look that up. I'm not gonna look it up now, but I want to look that up and see what he thought. Because he was just like, oh, I built this shit up, and this is what this. And I think he's a young director. Isn't he a young director?
He's up there now, kind of.
Is he not anymore after making Hellboy?
I forget his name already. I'm sorry.
He's some guy. I forgot. He directed like two episodes of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they were so good.
That's the thing. He directed episodes.
He directed The Battle of Blackwater, yeah. And I think the Wildlings Attack on the Wall.
Yeah, both of the...
And I made the point in the past to you, honey, that those two episodes are very dark because they both take place at night.
Yes.
And he has a big budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ended up happening was he made two very good episodes. But when you have a lower budget on, say, Hellboy, and mm-hmm. the effects are shitty... And you feel everything super dark so you don't notice. It makes it into a very, very dark movie.
Yeah, no.
The movie was so dark and the effects were so bad.
Yeah, but okay. No.
It's a giant pig.
I don't think that should not be an excuse. Also, I got a really weird, like, uncanny valley, like, feeling watching the pig just move. Because I feel like his face was always moving. And the way that it moved was like... No, like, seriously. Because remember, he was so jiggly. And I feel like his head was never just still. He was just like, get me the thing right now. You can't see, but I'm, like, bobbing my head right now.
And what a coincidence that Hellboy just knew that person, because that person terrorizes other person who Hellboy just also just met.
See, another paper thin thought, like, plot point, like, I was going to say, okay, lower budget should not be an excuse, though, because there have been, like, low budget movies that have done really well because the writing and the directing are very good. If the effects took that much of your budget, effects, more practical.
That's the problem, though. This is Hellboy. It's all about that.
Stick with one story. If, like, you can put most of the money towards CGI, but it better be damn good CGI, and stick with one plot point. That would make it so much less expensive if you have, like, a set number of locations instead of going from Mexico to Ireland or wherever they went, or like Scotland, and then take them to a mountain somewhere and then take them to another place. Like, if you just, like, set, like, literally, if it was all just set in Mexico, they can do more with the seat. Like, there would be more money instead of flying everyone to all the other locations, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And, like, even with the giant thing, if the giants are so expensive, don't put it in.
And they were so bad.
That's the thing. Like, you put your money towards other things. You don't have to. And, like, I will say, the scene with the giant, with the Horsemen of the Apocalypse was cool. It was really cool. Those scenes were cool. It was literally just like, we're awake. And then he puts the sword down. Now we're dead. And they go back.
And I'm not too up on my lore, my Hellboy lore. So I forgot. I forgot that was the 400 of the Apocalypse.
See, right.
So, like, then when I saw that, I was just like, I was like, what the fuck?
These giant things.
Why are these giant stick figures killing people? Stop.
Right. And it was just so gross out. Like, if that's the only reason it was rated R. Because of the gross out, like,
God, the jelly,
like,
blood.
Right in front of the camera, just ripping a man in half.
And then jelly,
you know,
blood falls,
like,
out.
Oh, God. But no, but like I was saying, okay, if they just centralize, like, keep the locations to a minimum, focus on the writing, focus on the directing, you know, like...
He barely shoots anyone in this movie.
He barely shoots anybody. Like if the CGI was that expensive, like, you need to plan this stuff out more. Like, you know, I feel like they just gave him a bunch of money and he got really, like, excited and no one told him no, or, like, they shot everything and then they just, like, smushed it all together because they needed the movie out on, like, a specific date. That's what it felt like. It felt like he was just like, I'll just shoot everything I want because I have all the money. Fuck, we don't have enough money for CGI, because they do that in post.
They do.
So they're just like, oh, fuck, we don't have enough money for, like, the CGI that I want. Just take the rest of the budget and do what you can. And the editors are probably just like, well, fuck you too. And they were just like, you know, that's kind of what it felt like. They forgot that some of that money has to go towards CGI.
Also, just to wrap things up a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to talk about the end part, because we went through the whole movie.
Yeah.
Basically, but I will do that. I will give it this.
Huh.
I feel like this movie's bookended by some really good scenes, because the mm-hmm. scene where Hellboy, what's her nuts, what's her face, and then
Alice.
What's his nuts? Yeah, Alice, and then the other guy, the cat demon. It's a cat demon in this movie. But ignoring that, the scene where they have where it's all like, it's like, all right, I'm here. All right, you ready? You know, I can't just turn it on, right? Well, it was like, how do you do it? I usually get, like, pumped up angry. Get punched in the face. You can't just, like, punch me in the face, Hellboy, to get me to punch him again. And he starts transforming. Okay, I'm ready. And they go into this room, and they're all using their powers just to kill people.
Yeah.
And then go to the fish guy. I know his name, but whatever. I go to the tank. What's this? You see the fish guy's hand. And that whole thing was just like, that's fine. Like, mm-hmm. but yeah, it was just so unfocused.
If only they established their teamwork in a better, I understand the whole movie was Hellboy learning whatever, and then he finally has like a team and a family that I trust or whatever, but they could have done that better. And like I said earlier, it has some great trailer moments. Yeah, it has some great production stills moments. The ending is a great trailer moment. Trailer for the next freaking movie. That's it. They probably did that one like one of the first days probably. Anyways, and also for those of you that don't know, I studied filmmaking in college, because it really sounded like they're just like, why does she think all these things?
Well, like, who are you?
Anyways, yeah, I studied filmmaking, more specifically production, writing and directing and producing. So you know.
And if I can just launch this off into a newer topic.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite scenes in this movie was the luchador scene.
Uh-huh.
And I would say that pro wrestling is one of my guilty pleasures.
Oh my God.
Yes.
You and wrestling.
I think wrestling can be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And while I don't watch it anymore, every now and again, I just kind of sneak in there going to see what they're doing. I poke my head into the world of wrestling, and I'm all like, all right. Because why wouldn't I want to watch a bunch of big, strong men just, like, throw each other around and so forth, and women doing the same thing? That's just nature, honey. The duality of man between, you know.
Oh, if you say so. You tried to show me one match where it was like he was throwing the guy down on tacks and shit. I was like, oh no.
Oh yeah, for those wondering, she was watching a no holds barred match between Randy Orton and Mick Foley. And for those who don't know, Mick Foley, yeah, back in the day, he was just like, I'm gonna go on the top post, wrap my arm in barbed wire, jump off into the air, and smash to this guy's face with that barbed wire.
Oof.
And then, oh look, I'll throw tacks on the ground and body slam you onto the tacks.
That
and then now you're like shaking because you're in shock.
That was rough. Oh my gosh.
I made her watch that, and she was like tapping. I was like, stop, no.
I was like,
which kind of surprised me, because I'm just like, you love horror movies and all this blood and
yeah,
such.
But that's all fake. And yeah, sure, it's probably fake or whatever.
Oh, it's all fake there too. Not the thumbtacks, obviously.
Exactly.
That's just, you know.
I was like, no, why do people want to do this to each other?
Well, and just, you know, well, and I used... don't kill you. It just hurts. It's like bee stings that just don't
go
away.
Why do we take pleasure in other people's pain
Well, honey, you see, the Germans invented Schadenfreude.
And
the concept of loving one's pain is an evil that was cast upon us by a German wizard called Schadenfreude. And that's where babies come from.
He snuck in. He's like, oh, Schadenfreude.
Yeah,
like,
oh.
But no, and that's funny because I used to do blood effects as well, but seeing it...
I thought you were going to say I used to do Schadenfreude.
I
was like, really?
And then I swore it off.
Because in reality, she's a nice person.
Oh my gosh, I think I am.
Okay, go ahead.
He thinks I am. But but anyways, yeah, so your guilty pleasure is wrestling.
Well, that's one of my guilty pleasures. That's one, so... Oh, okay, that's my first guilty pleasure. Uh-huh. And the reason why I like it is because it's basically a TV show that's been happening for like the past almost 30 years. No, more than 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like they never have a off year or like a off season.
Mm-hmm.
They never just like stop filming because like, oh, we need to stop filming for a week because of production stuff or whatever. No. Every week, new episode, and it's like it's been going for like since 1980, since the 80s.
Yeah.
So it's like the world's longest show, and like everything's canon in there. So they're all just doing this crazy stuff, and they have to like. Our dog's in the background just wiggling around on the couch. That's what you're hearing right now. Do you want to just say
something? If you hear distant grunts.
If it sounds like that, that's her.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so it's just, you know, wrestling is like... And then, like, there's the theatrics of it. It's basically, guys have said, it's basically just, like, ballerina for men, and it basically is. And they're all like, I challenge you to this. And, like, it's... Mm-hmm. There's a pageantry to it. And like, it's they're all, like, cartoon characters. It's fun.
I just think
it's fun. And I've actually shown her some matches.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, someone like Rey Mysterio will, like, be on the top buckle, jump in the air, do, like, a somersault, land on the guy's shoulders, throw himself back, and then using that first that initial momentum to make a guy whoop just like jump on just throw onto his back and he pins him.
Is that the term for it?
Oh yeah,
and make then, a guy whoop
whoop, and then and then she just goes oh, like she goes.
You know, it is okay. So when they're not throwing each other onto beds of tacks,
literally one match, but okay, fine, whatever.
Get
to your point.
Anyways, I will say I do like the story thing. I like the story thing. I like the character thing. I appreciate that. Yes.
Yeah, I was give her like a crash course in like Undertaker, like how he died, came back, and then killed his brother who also made this other guy. And she was kind of like, okay, go on. Towards him, like an undead brother, you say? Yeah, he's a demon. From hell. All right, I'm listening.
No, it's so the stories are so interesting. It's just sitting there and watching them beat each other. See, that's the thing. I feel like it's the same with me not playing video games. I don't play video games.
Yeah.
I love the stories of the video games. I watch other people's playthroughs of the games. I like to watch JJ play the games. But
you can't turn left or right. It's like, she'll sometimes walk like on a grid. Like, okay, left, turn around, forward. It's like you can use both joysticks to swing and swoop around. It's like
no.
Turn her. That's
like it's too complicated. I know. I don't know why.
She likes grandma video games. Okay, but going back.
Yes. Sorry, guilty pleasures. We're talking about wrestling. For
yeah.
You.
So and like you liked, but you liked it sometimes.
Yeah, I like the stories. Like I said, I appreciate the story and the character building. I think that's cool.
And some of the matches were pretty cool.
Yep.
I got the feeling she liked the ones who are like small and who just like run around and like do that's like because, the crazy moves.
Well, yeah, that's because they have to use more of their skill than just like me smash.
Okay. But having said that,
yeah.
I showed you matches with the Big Show,
yeah.
Who is literally 500 pounds and 7 feet, like 7 feet one or 7 feet 2. Like he's at least 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
The guy's a unit, and he just like, and like he just picks guys up with one hand, like whoop.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Like, how can you not look at that and go like, goddamn, look, that's cool.
Mm.
That's a thing that exists.
Okay.
Hello, lady.
Well, with that being said, so JJ's guilty pleasure, one of them is wrestling. Fine. Okay.
And what's yours?
Mine.
I want to know more of yours, and you can know more of mine.
Oh my gosh, mine. I'm so excited because I've been watching it on Netflix. We actually just...
Oh, I know what this is, too.
Finish one of them. Hold on.
It's the gayest show on earth.
It is. It is.
In some cases, like, the literal way, because there's actually some good representation in there. I will give it that.
Mm-hmm.
It's gay-friendly. Katie. But, okay, I wish Katie's just looking at my fiance's face.
I know. She's just like, I miss you guys while I was sleeping.
Yeah, you feel like when I'm paying attention to you? We love you. It's her birthday-ish today.
I know.
Maybe.
Hey,
eat him, dog.
Oh, she's just having a kissing break. Hold on. Wait.
ASMR.
No, she hates it. She hates the microphone.
Wait, can I have a kiss?
Yes. Okay, well, I'm going to start talking while Katie's kissing JJ.
No, put the microphone in my face.
She hates it. Like, what is this giant ball with a giant light on it? But anyways, my guilty pleasure has to be supernatural teenage shows.
Woo!
It is.
And you would think that's not a genre that exists. Oh. And like, there's a pocket of Netflix that'll tell you that prove you wrong.
But it is. Literally, when I say that, I mean shows like Supernatural, Vampire Diaries, Teen Wolf. Oh my gosh. But on Netflix, they have the originals, and they have the spinoff. No, they have the show Vampire Diaries, and then the spinoff show, The Originals, and then the spinoff of the spinoff, Legacies. And I finished The Originals, I finished Legacies today, still watching Vampire Diaries, because there's like 13 seasons. God. Not episodes, 13 seasons.
Like you think Marvel, has an extended universe going on?
Oh my gosh, they have 13 seasons for the original show. Then they did a spinoff that has its own seasons. And then they have another spinoff that's only in the first season.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel were better.
Oh my gosh,
who said that?
I know. And then we also talked about Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I know. in one of the past episodes, but no, just stuff like that. I don't know what, just supernatural teenagers, just all that angst and special powers for some reason just hit something in the teenage Jillian part of my brain. They're all so dramatic. They're all so pretty for no reason. Literally, as I'm watching it, I'm sitting here just like, these pretty people do not have these problems. But you know what? I'm going to suspend my disbelief and believe they're going through all these complicated, you know, handwritten problems.
And they're all like too beautiful. They're too beautiful.
Oh,
like,
it's no, so it's, dumb.
Is this kind of show that makes other countries believe the stereotype that all Americans are just like these beautiful goddess white people? And it's all like, my god, they're all beautiful people. Right? You get there, it's all like, god, they're all as ugly as we are.
It's funny because also another show that's like that was oh my gosh, the first one that I think of is Pretty Little Liars. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Like, I knew I was too old to watch that one specifically, because every episode, I only watched season one when it was airing, that was like years ago, but anyways, because every episode I was just like, why don't you just tell somebody, just stop it, just tell somebody,
stop this it. All dead hell.
this is every episode. It's like, I need to slap this person and blackmail her so that my secret doesn't get out. And if my secret gets out, then so and so will know the truth about how I feel about them. And I'm sitting there just like, stop it. Get some help. Every time. So you guys, those secrets they're not going to be that serious tomorrow.
What if it's that bad? Why do you like it so much?
Because I don't know. Just something in me just give me all the drama, because literally in my life, I'm way safe. I think that's why. Let's get into psychology for a second.
Oh, yeah, because you're a colossal, do-gooder and a goody-two-shoes.
Yeah, so
you play by the rules. Like, I found a great way to use my MoviePass to get movies that aren't listed. Because, okay, you know, because MoviePass is a thing where you can only watch movies for the day that are listed. So what I do is I'll get a ticket for a listed show, but I'm not going to watch it. Instead, I'll go up to the service desk and say, I bought this. Can I just have an can I exchange it for another ticket? And they say, no problem. It's a one-to-one exchange, whatever. And so I just get the movie I want to watch. I can do that. She's all like, no, that's cheating. I don't like it.
I'm just like, why can't it just work the way that it's supposed to?
So she's a good girl who doesn't break the rules. So when these teenagers are all like going around like, and vampire people are going around and like sucking the blood of someone and then like erasing their memory and being skeevy. She's just all like, fanning herself, yes. Like, ooh,
to a Lord. Techno remix
it's
of
her,
like
it's her
some
blood.
Like
this is some riveting.
Oh my goodness, this is like, oh my.
you and your hot Georgia blood that makes you only want spicy food.
I guess, but yeah, a similar show in that vein is Skins. Oh my gosh, I haven't seen the American version. I've only watched the UK. Yeah, there is. I've only watched the UK version. Also in that same vein, Degrassi. Like all of those
Drake, you baby face mute.
I know. All of those shows, like those are my guilty pleasures. I don't go around talking about them in public really. But when I'm at home, I'm not sitting there like doing anything else, I'm just gonna pop one on and just like turn off the brain and just, oh my gosh, it is so great. Especially, I think part of that also, not just me being safe in my waking life, but also, going through film school and watching all of like those, all the Gaspar Noé movies and all the, I forgot his first name, but, Haneke, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Anyways, all the depressing, sad movies. That have like really heavy themes and everything. Art house films. I love them all. Can't watch them every day. I'm already depressed. So
and the cycle continues.
I know.
And because you're depressed, you're not going to blah, 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 and then it goes
and then
back
it's
to
a
the...
circle. I just like then I watch another one. But no, they're super freaking good. But yeah, when
not
I want
not my thing. No siree. There's no explosions.
I know. But when I want to turn off the brain and everything,
that's where I come in.
Yes, that's when JJ comes in.
I'll never forget this one time. You just came home from, like, I think it was a hard day or something. It was something along those lines, and we had a day off, but we just were staying inside.
Yeah.
And then I was all like, we want to watch. I was all like, well, what do you want to watch? And then I just go and I grab, like, three superhero DVDs, and I was like, we can watch one of these. And she's all like,
yes.
And she's just like, I'll never forget this. Because she's there. Because she stares at me for a second and goes, like, play Civil War.
Yeah.
Because she just wanted to see these heroes like kill each other.
Yeah. You know, you can only watch.
And then after that, I was like, Days of Future Past.
I know. Like, oh my gosh, you can only watch.
She was just like, basicify me, please.
I know. You can only watch the celebration and the piano teacher one too many times. But anyways, so that's probably why I like those movies. Not that anyone asked why I watch them. That's one of my guilty pleasures, though.
Aw.
Yes.
All right. Well, another one of my guilty pleasures is also about watching something. Mm-hmm. And it's those cutesy slice of life animes.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, oh my goodness, our dog is a big crybaby who wants attention.
What's your other one?
Wait. What is this? Okay.
Yes.
It's my other guilty pleasure is like anime that's like basically slice of life that usually involves just like cute girls doing cute things. It's the cute girls doing cute things genre of anime.
Mm-hmm.
Usually slice of life where it's just like a bunch of like stupid girls like trying to because who are like really ignorant and dumb and just like going through life and they don't know what's happening. Like Nichi Jou.
Mm-hmm.
You actually like that one.
Nichi Jou is cute. I really like that one.
It's like it's one of the ultimate cute girls doing cute things animes. Where it's just like these things, four girls, and they're like just range in like weirdness.
Yeah.
And they're at school together, and it's just like, and it's all like, hey, look, this button, it says don't push. Oh, they better stay. She just pushes it, and the alarm goes off. Oh, and she's just like standing there, she can't move. And it's just them doing continually dumb and dumber things.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost slapsticky.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones, and there's other one I'm watching called Strawberry Marshmallow. Or it's just like basically it's like middle school girls who all like just survive on like kid logic,
mm-hmm.
and it's just really wholesome, but it's guilty pleasure because I feel like its target audience is I feel like it's one of those animes where its target audience is not me but secretly it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And it's all like, oh, these four girls are just like there are some cringy moments of course because it's Japan, but on the whole I'm just all like that was adorable. They dressed up as Santa for this one girl. That's nice. There were reindeers.
Aww,
it's so yeah, they're idiots. Okay, but that's my other. What's your final guilty pleasure?
Ooh, should I go really weird?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I want to dog on you some more.
Okay, so does everyone remember Dr. Pimple Popper?
I don't know who that is.
That was a whole fucking crazy.
When, oh, I know. Okay. I know you're going.
I hate those. I love what I like is the earwax removing ones.
Good lord.
I know. I hate, like, I feel like and the pimple thing is so gross. I know. I feel like the pimple thing is so gross, and, like, I hate when you can hear it and all the pus and stuff on someone's face.
Oh, my God. I remember the time I made you cringe by going, I remember one time when I was a kid, I had a pimple in my ear, and I popped it, and it was so far down my ear, I heard it pop.
Oh.
Like, I audibly heard a...
Oh, I hate it so much. No, I hate those. But when you're removing earwax... Oh my, because it's like a cleaning thing for some reason. Like, it's getting rid of the unwanted stuff, and it's just a beautiful, just...
And then you're clean ear.
Clean ear, clean ear. Clean ear. It's just left fine. I don't, whoa.
Katie.
Sorry, Katie wants my attention, what? Oh, whoa. She almost bit my face.
But she does love us though.
She was like a love bite thing. I hate when she does that.
Oh, I love she does that.
I can't.
she did.
But anyways, I don't know why. It just feels so satisfying watching like it's like the cleaning shows, like that one that's really popular now. Is it Tidying Up?
Tidying Up. Oh, with the
Spark Joy.
You do that Spark. Does
Spark Joy? It's like those you only, do spark only joy. Instead of a house, it's someone's ear.
God, only you would be. You would weirdly love something about cleaning.
This. Oh, also,
because she's the type of person where, like, if I leave crumbs like by accident and like I don't clean it within like the 5 seconds that she notices it, she's like,
she explodes. Oh, wait, hold on, no.
Clean.
Yeah, because otherwise it's gonna be there until like the next morning.
My theory is that she's definitely afraid of roaches.
No. I'm not deathly afraid of roaches. No, that's not it. I just want the home to be clean. Okay, I don't want to walk around at night and like have crumbs.
Okay, but don't make me sound like a slob here. I'm not Mr. Piggy Pen.
Oh, you say that, but I saw your room before we lived together. You bitch.
You.
Don't you forget.
Stop. Shut up.
I love you too. But anyways, I'm just giving him so much crap.
It was a ventilation issue, I swear.
But I'm also just on this cleaning. Like, I like every spring, like every like season, I feel like I have to clean something else.
Every spring, every season.
Shut up.
I'm redundant.
You know what, Gigi? You know what?
Yes.
I recognize
spring. I drink all liquids and water.
You're not wrong. Okay.
I'm just being a jerk about it.
This is me every day, guys.
Not every...
Please send help.
Well, technically not every day. Please send help. There's some times where we're actually... Help.
No. Not really. We're fine. But no, and I just got done cleaning my old art directing shelf. Just organized it. I'm feeling so great.
He also cleaned my soul.
Still trying to clean his soul.
Hey.
But no... yeah, I mean, oh my gosh. Anyways, just the act of cleaning. Is that a, that's not a guilty pleasure.
Well, no, we're talking about the act of cleaning someone's ear, you weirdo.
I know. Oh yeah, the earwax removing videos instead of the pimple popping videos.
Wait, didn't we do an earwax removal for you?
We tried to. Did not work.
It's because you have tiny ears.
It was weird.
You have tiny ears, tiny toes.
Yeah. It's not this again. I feel like we've talked about this on a past episode.
Yeah, her toes are weird. But moving on.
Ooh, wait. Before we go on, okay, I just want to ask you. Because ASMR. I wasn't the biggest fan.
If you're doing a third one, then it's my turn.
No. It's not a guilty pleasure. I wanted to get your opinion on ASMR because I was watching one and you were just like, I just don't understand it if it was themed, and I was just like, bitch, they have themed ASMR, like medieval like tavern.
And then my ear pricked up and I was all like, hold on. Did someone say medieval?
Yeah.
My most favoriteest of genres.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's all I have. Yeah, no, I would say my favoriteest.
Yeah, how do you feel about the ASMR ones?
I was walking through a tavern. It was great.
So he likes
I
it.
I heard the clinking of coins and people drinking and laughter. Rora's laughter from the corner as I knelt by the fire.
I think she has to go outside.
Oh, my God, Katie. Here, be yourself and myself and me.
So, this is probably really weird for Brandon to hear, but I'm on both microphones at the moment. But with that being said, ASMR, I only watch it before bed, and when I do watch it, it's usually the ones where they do, like, the, face touching stuff, even though they obviously can't touch your face. For some reason, just the hand movements. Oh, she had me touch her face,
though, so it was, like, yes. So it was like 3D.
It was just, like, the hand movements in front of the camera is just, oh my gosh, it's so nice. And they're like whispering to you.
Oh, people love napkin folding ones.
Really?
People just folding napkins.
Oh my gosh. There's also the ones where they, oh my gosh, like the triggers. Oh my gosh, so nice. So nice. Like if they like scratch.
Rocks falling down.
No, like those two. Yes. Oh my gosh. That's actually why I made crunchy slime. That one time, oh my gosh, it was so nice. Like, it sounded like a babbling brook when you, like, crunch it. Oh my gosh, I want to get that actually right now. But anyways, so yeah, I got him into a type of ASMR, or I showed you a type of ASMR.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make another transition because the example I gave, napkin folding.
Yes.
The one I just gave about two topics ago.
Yeah.
Two beats ago, I should say.
Yeah.
I got that example from this comic that I read for free on Comixology.
Oh.
The comic was called Giant Days. It's actually a pretty cool, like, modern and actually kind of inclusive / like, not, I wouldn't say like woke, but like, you know, they have a, basically it's a comic about these three ladies who go to college in like the UK, and their friends. And it's just them like going through, you know, just college life, and you see it from the point of view of these three girls. One's a ditz, one's like a punk, and the other one's like a fun goth.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd like it.
Maybe.
And like, and there's this one, issue where like one of the girls like walks in another girl like watches something weird on her laptop, and is all like, oh my god. And then, but no, the joke was she walks in on this other girl, and the girl like immediately just slams her laptop. She's on her bed. She slams her laptop and hides and goes like, what's up? And then she's like, nothing. And then they just leave. And so she thinks, oh, I walked out of her masturbating. Mm-hmm. And then she's all like, no, I wasn't masturbating. I was like, what were you doing? I was listening to this. And then she admits her shame. And her shame was she watches ASMR videos of ladies folding napkins. It's just her like watching it and like, hearing it. It's like, yeah, fold those napkins. She loves it.
Yeah.
And I brought that up because I have a Comixology account. For those who don't know, Comixology is kind of like Netflix for comics, where you can read like a bunch of comics for free. And there's a whole bunch you have to pay for too, because they're either really classic, or like just like, or they came out, or they're brand new, so they have to either pay for it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can read a bunch of comics. You can also do a Marvel Pass and read a bunch of Marvel comics for free. That's a real Netflix, kind of like Netflix. That's a real one. Mm-hmm. But more and more, I'm actually buying. I find myself buying more comics than I actually am buying them.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that big a comic person, but if I find like a visual novel, like just a one and done visual novel that looks interesting or I think I like, which coincidentally is another guilty pleasure of mine.
Yeah.
Like the cute girls doing cute things manga and anime. Well, there's like comics, comics by American authors, who are just like, it's just a one story about like about the same thing, and I think it's adorable. Mm-hmm. I have a guilty pleasure, but I used to buy those a lot.
Yeah.
Now I just find myself buying them more on digital because it's really convenient.
Yeah.
To just like look at these comics, just look up any one I want and then look at a preview for it, like a 3 to 4 page preview of what the art looks like and the jokes,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, because it's a preview. And you can try that, and then just some of them are like on sale all the time.
Yeah,
and it's just really, and like, yeah, I bought a few, and some of them are really good. And I find myself just thinking to myself, I think I'm reading more comics. That's really convenient. Just load one up, scroll through it. I can zoom in,
yeah.
So I don't have to strain my eyes on the tiny, if they have tiny print.
Yeah, you don't have to wait. So for it's delivery.
Really convenient.
To, go to a store.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't have to go to a store. Yeah. It's really convenient, and I think for you and me, one thing we always had in common is we like things to be a little more convenient.
Yeah.
If at all possible, you just bought some. What'd you buy, honey? Some smart bulb lights, right?
Oh yeah. Okay, so I bought an Alexa, and I bought Alexa compatible. Lights. I bought an Alexa compatible smart plug, and then I also got an LED string light to go like above our bed so that we can see at night, and it has a little remote, so we don't have to go and like physically turn off a light. So yes, I do like convenience.
And my main point is, I find myself going like, if I'm just laying on my bed. And I have my tablet near me,
mm-hmm.
and I want to read like maybe 2 or 3 different comics back to back. I don't have to get up, walk over to my bookcase, grab said comic, and bring it back, and then having to open the page again. And I used to be the kind of guy who was like, no, digital's the best because you can have it forever. It's physical. You can sell it if you want. You can let people borrow it.
Mm-hmm.
But with the comics, I'm like, this is just really. I say that a lot. But with comics, I find that I appreciate how easy it is to have it just on a database.
Yeah, no.
And that's really cool.
It is. You know what? I feel like that makes sense.
And the new topic is?
Oh, media formats.
And digital versus physical.
Yeah, I was going to say, with that being said, okay, I feel the same way you feel about the comics and the digital thing. With movies, which is why we have Netflix and Hulu and all the streaming.
Amazon Prime and
yes, we have
apps on our Xbox
One. All of the streaming things. But I will say I do like the physical form of books.
Okay.
Especially the classic books. Like my goal, like one of my low key like goals in life is to collect like all the classics. And you know what? And like read them as I go by.
And if you were to ask me, well, JJ, does that mean you like it on digital? I would say, oh, friend, I've ascended to a far greater plane called audiobooks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because reading is for squares.
You know what?
Just kidding.
But you know, I do like audiobooks too.
Nerds.
Oh, yeah. Because I actually listen to an audiobook while I do my work.
I've been listening to. I'm re-listening to Game of Thrones again.
Of course you are.
But it's so good.
It is so good. Where did Katie go?
Yeah, she flew away.
Okay, we should wrap up.
We should wrap up. Yeah. But you have the final thought here.
Oh, my final thoughts. Hellboy sucked. It's okay to have guilty pleasures and read a book. So in summary.
Fuck Hellboy.
Yes.
Read a book.
Yes.
That was the one.
It's okay to have guilty pleasures.
It's okay to have guilty pleasures.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there are some who would think that there's no such thing as a guilty pleasure. Because, you know, you shouldn't, you know, unless it's like kill, unless your pleasure is to kill. Point is, our dog is whining at us, so thank you for listening. That was a great episode, huh?
That was great. One of my favorite episodes.
Yeah. So, well, if you liked this episode, be sure to check out some of our other episodes we have. And well, if you like those too, then we hope to see you in the future.
Yeah. And if you have a topic that you want us to talk about, shoot us an email at the email in our show notes below.
And if you can't contact us through our email address, just stick your head out the window and shout. I'm sure, you know, we'll hear you.
Exactly. And don't forget to rate and subscribe. And as always,
stay frosty.